The Ray D'Arcy Show on Today FM.
53102 for your text. You can send us emails to raytodayfm.com. And pricewatch at todayfm.com. You'll need that email address as well if you want Connor Pope to grapple with a consumer issue of yours. Morning, Connor.
Morning to you, Ray. How are you?
I'm looking to find your...
Yeah, it's the fourth week of my Save 5,000 Euro series, so there's no product review.
Yes.
But I did hear you talking about the sausage guy on the...
Yes, Adrian.
Just on the way in. Adrian. And I spoke to the other chap, John Paul O'Connor from Kerry.
Yes.
Who also was getting knighted or whatever it is that you do for making sausages. Now, obviously, I can't talk about the quality of the sausages because of that other thing. That
yes,
we
you're
have.
A judge on the Best in Ireland
yeah,
Awards.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk about sausages. But I tried his white pudding and yes. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like completely different from the kind of white pudding that you or I might know that comes in the little circular tube and it looks like kind of meat toothpaste. Nothing like that. Really good quality stuff. So yeah. I'm delighted those guys won the prizes.
I can't off the top of my head because I took a good run at it this morning. Oh, here it is here. Sorry. So the Confrérie de Fingostière d'Alsanon.
Yeah, I was very, you know, I know you were giving yourself a hard time, but I was very impressed with your pronunciation. It's like, it's a lot better than I did. No, but we should have more of those kind of things here. Like,
do you think?
Secret ceremonies and knighthoods for food and the like.
They're probably going on, we don't know about them because they're secret.
That's true.
Yeah.
But fair play to them anyway.
Yeah, pricewatch at todayfm.com. I would like to know if it is now AIB's policy to cut off your debit card when you go abroad. I was in US and spent a reasonable amount in one shop and the next thing I know, my card was frozen on me. I was livid as I was on holiday in Chicago and had intended to shop for Christmas presents and buy some clothes and shoes and the like. I assumed it was a problem with US machines reading the Irish card and I didn't discover what had actually happened until I was home several days and went to get petrol and the card was rejected again. Cue even more embarrassment. It was at this point I called AIB. I was told that the bank had noticed the Chicago transaction and called me on my mobile. I didn't answer, and although the bank official presumably had heard the foreign dial tone, they still went ahead and stopped the card anyway. The bank was quite sniffy when I called to find out what was going on, and I was told I should have let them know I was going away. Talk about Big Brother. I was mortified and had to borrow money from me sister.
Yeah, if this happened to me, can you imagine how I'd be livid as well? Because, you know, you go on your holidays, you mightn't have a whole lot of cash, but it's in the run-up to Christmas and you're thinking I'll buy all this stuff ahead of time.
But you plan, don't you? You know, like sometimes I'm caught short at home.
Yeah.
But if I'm going on holidays, I always make sure that I've enough money in the account.
Exactly. Because you're saving up. It's a big
yes,
deal.
Yeah.
And it's not something that just spontaneously happens. You've known it's been coming down the tracks for a long time. Now, on a number of levels, this is just, it seems crazy to me. And like, all the major banks do it, okay? They monitor your accounts for suspicious activity raised by fraud prevention algorithms.
This is software that when it's not somebody looking over your shoulder.
Exactly.
Time,
so there isn't
software,
somebody going, yeah. Oh, there's Ray D'Arcy. I think he's in Chicago buying Converse. Let's stop his card. So it's an
automatic. Too old for Converse.
Yeah, you're never too old for Converse. It's an automated process. And they can deactivate your card if they notice any suspicious activity. Now, this is despite the fact that a lot, you know, chip technology means that credit cards should be more secure than they've ever been. Yet this is a really, really common thing. And if you look through the terms and conditions of all the Irish banks, this is allowed for in their terms and conditions. They say we will continue to monitor your cards for suspicious activity and to for your safety, we will sometimes put a block on them temporarily. So they're covered from a legal perspective. But then, of course, the question is, who are they doing it for? Are they doing it for you, to protect you, or are they doing it for themselves? Now, the reality is that when it comes to scenarios like this, they are doing it 100% to protect themselves. Because if you become the victim of fraud, and people don't really, or people aren't aware of this, if you become the victim of fraud on your credit card or your debit card, and it's through no fault of your own, you will be 100% reimbursed by your credit card, or by your bank. So that's the reality. So first off, we need to put to bed the lie that the banks are doing this to protect you. Okay. The second thing is, what is our responsibility to our banks? Do we live in a world where you like where they're like your mammy and you have to ring the bank before you go on your holidays, say, listen, I'm off to Tunisia or I'm off to Chicago or whatever it might be. So there needs to be certain, you know, there needs to be rules put in place there. But I think the key thing is that the banks don't properly inform the general public that this is their policy. So the person who contacted me here didn't know.
It's in the small print. How many people read the small print?
But what I would like, if this is the thing that they do, you know the way you see all these banks spending lots of money on ads showing friendly bank managers shaking hands with young couples going, congratulations, we just secured you a mortgage or whatever it might be. They need to be putting this front and centre of their policies, because I'm not saying it's a bad thing per se, but they need to be addressing the problem in a more meaningful way and saying, this is what we do, and if you are going away, you need to do X, Y and Z.
Yes.
But just before I came in, I posted on Twitter, has anybody else experienced the problem like this? And in about 5 minutes, I had 25 or 30 people all saying that exactly the same thing happens. So I tried to find out exactly how it works. Basically, there's a threshold above which, and the threshold is different for different countries. So there will be some hotspot countries where, let's say, for instance, in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, the center of all the kind of the email scams and the online scams is Nigeria. So if you try and spend your credit card, even for 10 euro in Nigeria, you're likely to get one of those phone calls. But, you know, it's, and if, like, if you try and spend it in the UK or in France, the threshold is much higher. But then you try and find out what the threshold is. And of course, the banks won't tell you what the threshold is, because if they tell you what the threshold is, and I can see their point here,
the scammers
will know that well, I've got a ceiling of 300 euros or 400 euros, but the thing is, the threshold isn't that high, you know, it's comparatively low. So you have to work out, okay, what do I do? The first thing, and the thing that some people have pointed out to me, actually, because I just put it online, the banks don't take into account time zones. So one person contacted me, and they were in California, and they purchased something in California, and then at 5 o'clock the following morning they got a phone call from their bank in Ireland going, just check in to see if you bought that product. And like, the person was not best pleased that they'd been woken up. But so you have to, the bank should have a policy in place. They won't allow other people to ring on your behalf, and they won't allow you to communicate with them via email to say that that it's okay, unless you do it in advance. So two things you can do. You need to, if you are traveling abroad and you need your credit card or your debit card, because it can be hideously embarrassing. Somebody else got in touch with me, like, they'd no money and they'd no way to get to the airport. And if they didn't have friends, they wouldn't have been able to get to the airport to get home.
Yeah.
So it is, they need to heighten public awareness so that people know that if the card is blocked, it's the bank's fault. B, they need to implement a system whereby you can communicate with them while you're abroad without racking up huge charges. And C, they need to make sure that when you're away that they can expedite the unblocking process quickly.
Yes.
Now, what they did in the case of this person, they rang them once, there was no answer, so they blocked the card.
But the interesting thing is, they rang them and they got an international tone.
And you see, that's where the banks
aren't thinking
about it logically, because I presume there's a list of actions that the call centre operative has to do. Ring, if there's no answer, block the card.
Right.
So ring if you hear an American dialing tone. Well, maybe they're in America, isn't on the call sheet. And maybe a little bit of common sense might be... The other thing that you could do, of course, is to use one of these prepaid travel cards. And you know the way we were talking about, you know, preparing for your holidays?
Yes,
if you get one of those prepaid travel cards, you can load it up before you go. And then when you're in America, you can use the chip, you can use it at an ATMs, you can use it in shops or wherever it might be. But you have total control of
it. But you see, this is the thing, right? The banks provide a service for us, which we pay for in bank charges.
Yeah.
So they should be facilitating us getting our hands on our own money.
Absolutely. And they shouldn't just be putting...
So we shouldn't have to go out of our way to get a something else for holidays.
And the thing is, this is a new thing. This is not something that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, even though they would have had the facility to do it. So despite the fact that security has improved in terms of the cards, their vigilance has got worse.
Stay with us. We have to take a commercial break because we have a number of texts from people just with questions and comments. 53102, ray at todayfm.com.
The Ray Darcy Show on Today FM.
So if you go abroad and you do some purchasing on your card, there is the possibility that your bank may cut you off for security reasons.
Yeah.
When I was going to the USA with husband, rang two banks and two credit card companies to tell them we were going to USA, and all four told me that I didn't need to ring them.
You see, that's the problem. There isn't a consistency. And of course, people have also got in touch with me to say that they've contacted their bank. They've said, listen, bank, I'm off on my holidays. Can you please let me keep the credit card for which I am paying while I'm away? And the banks have gone, yeah, absolutely no problem. Then they travel overseas and they use their credit cards and they've been blocked.
Because the computer takes over.
Because the computer says no.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that whole thing. The computer says no and that's it. It's game over.
Yeah.
You know?
Credit cards. Mine was used in Stockholm and Germany, two separate occasions. Very annoying. So whatever the motive is, good to know that there's an attempt to limit the amount. Fraudster scum are getting away with this.
And they are. But the problem that people need to be aware of is they're not protecting you. They're protecting themselves.
Yes.
Because if your card is used in Stockholm and you're not in Stockholm and you haven't compromised your PIN number, the bank has to give you the money back.
It's a big shocker, isn't it? Banks are in it for themselves.
Absolutely. That'll be the headline news at 10 o'clock.
We bought my engagement ring in Italy and paid deposit to get it sized, went back to collect and couldn't pay. Bad start. No call, nothing. Loads of funds on the card. That's the... And then you see, it is our relationship with the banks, and it's a historic thing, isn't it? You know for sure you have funds because you put them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're there in a shop and the person says your card has been declined.
Yeah. And you're like, no,
I have a can't be the case.
And then sometimes you might get a bit paranoid and think, oh God, did I put the money in the right account or whatever it might be? And you're right, actually. There is this great disconnect now between our banks and our people. There was a time when, like, and this is maybe, like, I might sound like an old man now, but there was a time when you'd ring your branch and you'd say...
You'd talk to Mary.
Yeah,
you, Mary,
exactly.
Ray here.
There would actually be a human being who would answer the phone and say, oh, listen, we'll sort that problem out. And you'd have confidence that the problem would be sorted out. Now, and we've talked about it endlessly in the past, you go into the automated phone systems, you have no idea who's
call
dealing
center.
With your call.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've no idea who's dealing with your phone call. The only thing you know is that they don't really give a rashers about you.
Particularly if it's 20 to 5 on a Friday.
Yes, Mr. Pope, that's fine.
Had similar problem with bank card on honeymoon. We're in Vegas with no money for 4 days. Had to get money wired from home. Husband went to play a few games on our last night and spend his gambling allowance. Won $14,000 on a roulette table. Our bank didn't see one dime of it.
That's not a good cautionary tale, is it?
Yeah, no. The banks blocked my card when I went to book flights to Texas last year and I couldn't book it. I had to ring eBookers and they told me to ring my bank. My bank said the same, that I should have rang them to let them know I was booking flights to America. In the meantime, the flights for myself and my wife went up €176. Terrible that I hadn't even left the country.
Actually, that's a very interesting point, because sometimes people might be out of pocket as a result of what the banks have done. And I've heard of people trying to pursue the banks for phone calls and for all the extra expenses, and the banks aren't entertaining any of it.
Yeah. See, people are saying as well, would there not be software that realises that you had booked a flight to Chicago on the same
there
card?
And also, there's a difference between, let's say, if your credit card is used in a physical place, if your card has gone into a shop, and the software should be able to identify that, okay, they've bought this thing in Macy's, so chances are they're in Macy's.
Yeah, so high-risk transactions should be red flag bell alarm bells, whereas other ones like Macy's sort of shouldn't.
Yeah, but and the key thing is, if this is their policy, they should tell us every single day of the week, this is our policy. You know, we're not the bank that likes to say yes.
Look, it really sort of, I don't want to do this, but we are saving banks money now by telling you that this is the case. And that if you are going abroad, that you should let them know, although they may say you need not do that, just so you can ensure that you will have funds throughout the whole holiday. So there you go.
It saves you grief and their money.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Connor. That was great. Pricewatch at todayfm.com if you want Connor's help on any consumer issue. And we'll have Pricewatch again next Monday.
The Ray Darcy Show on Today FM.